I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Last week, a gunman in Indianapolis shot and killed 8 of his former colleagues at a FedEx warehouse. And among the victims, 4 were members of the Sikh community. In response, 8 Sikh houses of worship in Indianapolis issued a joint statement that reads in part, quote, "Given everything our community has experienced in the past, the pattern of violence, bigotry, and backlash we have faced, it's impossible not to feel that same pain and targeting in this moment." And here's what one member of the Sikh community in Indianapolis had to say about the shooting.
This is KP Singh calling from Indianapolis, Indiana. We send our prayers and blessings to everyone as the Sikh community in Indiana and around the world commemorates one of the most significant days in the history and journey of the Sikh faith, and yet there is a pale, dark cloud of this event that has taken place the past few days. Together we shall fight and overcome the sadness and rise to comfort those directly impacted. We all have a responsibility to bring back the light and bring back the promise of this blessed land.
If you'd like to share your thoughts with us, please call us at 877-869-8253. I'm joined now by Simranjeet Singh, Senior Fellow at the Sikh Coalition and Visiting Professor at Union Theological Seminary. Simran, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We heard a little bit from a member of the Sikh community in Indianapolis in the introduction, but in terms of, I'm sure you're hearing from lots of people in the community, how are they processing this most recent mass shooting?
Oh, well, I mean, first and foremost, the community is devastated. And that's, you know, the families who lost loved ones, whether they were Sikh or not. You know, half of the families who were affected were Sikh families, and half of them were not. And regardless of your background, losing your loved ones to violence like this is painful. I mean, there's no other real word for it. And so that, I think, is part of the experience. And then another part of the experience is the feeling across Sikh communities in Indianapolis, around the country, across the world. They feel targeted. They feel like this was intentional. You know, the police are reporting today that the killer had visited white supremacist websites. We know that he should not have had access to guns. They had been taken away from him previously. He got access to guns again. We know that he used to work with these people, many of whom were Punjabi Sikh immigrants at this FedEx facility. They would have turbans and beards just like me, and brown skin and accents. And for him to go into a place like that and to massacre his former coworkers, it doesn't feel anything short of targeted hate. And that's an experience and a feeling that our community knows all too well. But to have to go through it at this scale, once again, it's just painful for everyone involved.
You're talking, when you say the Sikh community knows this experience all too well, you point that out in an op-ed you wrote for CNN, where you talk about the 20 years since the terrorist attacks of 9/11 and the backlash that ensued. I remember interviewing a woman who married into a Sikh community and was a taxi driver here in New York City, and who was wearing her her outfit and her salwar kameez and was attacked by her passenger around that time. Is that the type of hatred and violence that you're concerned about?
Right, exactly. And I mean, I living here in New York City for the past 10 years, I can give you all sorts of personal stories like that. Working with the Sikh Coalition, a civil rights organization based here in New York City, I can share anecdotes from people of all backgrounds within the city who have been attacked in all sorts of spaces. I mean, I've been subjected to racist hate while running the New York City Marathon. I've had it while taking my kids to school. I mean, it comes in all forms. And so that's part of the experience too, that you know that in a moment like this, when the climate is such that hate is affecting all types of communities across the board, and to have to reconcile its reality in the most visceral way, to face death within this community, you can't help but wonder, what's next? Is it my parents? Is it me? Is it my kids? And that reality, I mean, it's too much to carry on a day-to-day basis, but we have to. And so those are the kinds of attacks precisely that have been in part and parcel of the Sikh experience in America. And, you know, so much of our conversation when we talk about this, the narrative is, well, this is a post-9/11 phenomenon. This is a post-Trump phenomenon. And those things are true. Things have gotten worse in certain moments where our community has been targeted increasingly. You know, for example, from 2017 to 2018, we saw 200% increase in reported hate crimes against Sikhs. I mean, ask any statistician, 200% increase is ridiculous. Like, we don't hear those kinds of numbers. And so those are true, but also at the same time, when we limit our understandings to the current moment, to our own experiences, we fail to recognize the long history of white supremacy and racism in this country. And so to really understand that, we have to look to the very foundation of this country, and also to the beginnings of Sikh experiences here, where within years of coming, racist backlash, attacks, race riots targeting Sikhs and South Asians. And that's, I think, that's an important part of the story and our psychology as well.
Simran, we should just be clear that the police in Indianapolis have yet to determine, or at least to call this a hate crime, as they continue to seek some motivation here on the part of the shooter. But your point remains in that the shooter had had visited white supremacist websites, had already been interviewed by the FBI at least a year prior to this shooting. And one thing I don't think a lot of folks know about is that there is a sizable Sikh population in Indiana and Indianapolis. How did that come to be?
Oh, well, I mean, it's a great point, first of all, that we don't actually know the motive of the killer. I mean, we can say it. We know enough to say that in a situation like this, hate was part of his motive, right? How do you massacre people, human beings, without hate being part of the equation? We don't know if racial bias was animating him. And so there's a really important distinction here to be made between bias and our legal categories of what constitutes a hate crime, right? In a hate crime, we need pure, clear evidence that he was doing this, that he killed these people out of racial hate. And in most situations, whether it's in a case like this or it's in a case like someone attacking a Sikh taxi driver here in the city, in most situations, no one is announcing why they're attacking you, right? It's very rare that somebody comes after me and says, I hate you because of your turban and your beard. So I think that's a challenge in our understanding of what it constitutes a hate crime in this country. And at the same time, we know with the research that is increasingly pointing to this reality that we all have biases. And we all have racial bias. And in a situation like this, where he would have known these people at this facility were largely Punjabi Sikh immigrants, it's hard to imagine. It's hard to separate out the bias that he would be carrying, like the rest of us carry, from his actions. So I think that's an important point to be made. With regard to the Indianapolis Sikh community, I would say, you know, Sikhs have been in this country now for about 125 years. They initially, like most immigrant communities, came to the West Coast, came to the East Coast. And as the communities grew, they started dispersing across the country. And so Indiana has about 8,000 to 10,000 Sikhs within the state. In Indianapolis itself, they have 8 to 10 gurdwaras, places of Sikh worship. So it's a substantial community there. Many of them worked at this FedEx facility. Many of them in Indianapolis are working class, backbone of America people. And I think that's really important to recognize too, because it's heart crushing to hear some stories coming out of this community. And people are saying, well, you know, one of the men who was killed, Jasvinder Singh, he had just started working there. And one of the reasons he started working there was because he was bored at home and he wanted to be in community with fellow Punjabi Sikhs, where he could speak his native language and talk about life back home. I mean, a classic immigrant experience. And I've heard that so many times from people who work at that facility. So part of what's brought these six to Indianapolis is jobs like this. In the same way that we see a lot of folks moving to the Midwest, looking for better opportunities and more affordable lives for their families.
You were part of a White House virtual gathering with members of the American Sikh community. Tell us about that event and what exactly would you like to see from the Biden-Harris administration in response to this shooting? Because we know that hate crimes towards Asian American Americans have been on the rise, and the Biden administration is aware of that and has made at least initial efforts to respond to that. But what would you like to see specifically in regard to this?
One of the strange parts of the experience for me was the first person who informed me about the shooting in Indianapolis was actually a friend who works at the White House. You know, he called that morning and asked if I'd heard about the shooting. And I had said, yes, I saw the headline. But I think with like most Americans, I sighed heavily and felt sad and moved on because it felt like just another mass shooting. And then he informed me that a number of Sikhs had been killed as far as he had understood at that point. It hadn't yet been confirmed, but he was hearing the reports. And he wanted to set up a conversation. And he asked me to help facilitate that. And you know, to me, what that demonstrates is the humanity of this administration, the outrage, the personal connection, which I think has been missing in this country for far too long, like, especially in our case as a community that's largely invisibilized, right? People don't see us. We're not part of the conversation. For them to reach out and to say, let's convene a meeting with local leaders on the ground and folks at the Sikh Coalition who are the leaders in the civil rights space to figure out what to do. And so we had a wonderful call, a very productive conversation with many federal officials in attendance, many members of the local Sikh community who were affected directly, and many folks from the Sikh Coalition. And we heard the stories of those who were hurting most. And we heard from the experts in the room in terms of what we would like to see. And I'll name a couple of the big asks. And one was to appoint a liaison for the Sikh community in the White House, given our particular needs and concerns. Another was to pass stronger legislation dealing with hate crimes and supporting communities who are dealing with hate. And the third big ask for the White House officials was to help support places of worship that are affected by violence and hate, and for these communities to get the active support of the federal government.
Simranjeet Singh is a senior fellow at the Sikh Coalition and a visiting professor at Union Theological Seminary.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.